I wasn't worried about my hair. I was preparing myself to lose my leg. Hello, it's B buzzing in with a warm welcome to We're Not Done Yet. Whether you're navigating cancer or just cruising through life's ups and downs, I'm so happy you're here. This podcast is all about finding strength, laughing through the chaos, and supporting each other. Let's dive in and see where this journey takes us. You guys, it's been storming today in Houston, and I absolutely love it. As much as I was wanting summer, I'm definitely starting to miss fall. I just love the fall atmosphere, especially when I have to do tasks. Call me weird, but it makes me do my tasks even better. Not to mention Twilight and Cinnamon Everything. Before diving into today's theme, I just want to make something very clear. Everything I share, my thoughts, my experiences, my perception of femininity, it's entirely my own. I don't speak for all women battling cancer or who have battled, and I definitely don't speak for all women who have faced bodily changes. You might hear something that resonates deeply, or you might completely disagree, and that's okay. Each of us carries our own definition of femininity, and that's exactly what makes being a woman so beautiful. I just want to put that disclaimer out there before we start. That said, I hope you enjoy today's episode, and please feel free to reach out and share how you felt your femininity change, whether you've felt it stripped away or you've reclaimed it through the hardest parts of your life. To begin today's topic, I want to start by talking about how I felt losing my hair before I actually lost it. Right before I was diagnosed, I had finally started to feel confident in myself. One of the biggest sources of that confidence was my hair. It was long, wavy, some might call it messy, but I loved it. It had its own personality and I rarely ever styled it. I felt beautiful just as I was. And sure, part of that was because I was lazy and completely unskilled when it came to doing hair, but that's neither here nor there. So when I was diagnosed with cancer and understood that treatment would cause me to lose my hair, of course, I thought about it. My two older sisters brought it up and asked how I felt about it, but the truth is, I wasn't that worried. The first doctor I saw was very blunt. He said that with this type of cancer, most people don't keep their limbs, and he told me matter-of-factly that I'd likely lose my leg. Was he right to say that? Absolutely not. So many patients go through limb salvage surgery, but at that point, I hadn't even met my oncologist. We barely knew anything except that there was a tumor somewhere near or in my bone. Still, that comment stuck with me. It took over my thoughts. I wasn't worried about my hair. I was preparing myself to lose my leg. That comparison followed me through most of the treatment. In my mind, losing my hair seemed so small and insignificant next to losing a limb. But when my hair actually started to fall out, it hit me differently. At first, it was just interesting. I'd run my fingers through and it would just come out shedding. Movies don't really show that part well, but it was strange, almost fascinating. Then it started to come out in clumps. I remember being in the shower and it just kept coming out, you guys. My mom would help me untangle the matted knots, and that was such an emotional moment for both of us. I knew she never thought she'd have to do something like that. I definitely didn't. I was still so young. I am still young. Eventually, I decided it was time to shave it all off. There was barely any hair left. My sweet nurse, who I adored dearly, shaved my head actually. I think it was on my birthday if I remember correctly. I was in the hospital, mid-chemo, so I was distracted by other things. I had intense side effects, and there was so much going on physically that I didn't really have the space to focus on my appearance. I experienced the worst mucositis I've ever had, you guys, during that chemo. It was horrible. But after I was discharged and started seeing myself more in the mirror, I won't lie, I got sad. I missed my hair. I felt unrecognizable. And without even realizing it, I started doing little things to feel more feminine. Painting my nails, putting on makeup, wearing earrings. I paid more attention to my clothes too. I wanted to make sure I still looked like a girl. So I leaned into florals, soft colors, pinks, basically anything that felt feminine to me, or at least what society tends to label as girly. On top of that, I started losing a significant amount of weight, you guys. Between the stress and barely having an appetite, my body was changing fast, and suddenly my clothes weren't fitting the same. I felt like my shape was disappearing. I was becoming less womanly. Sad to say, but that is how I felt in the moment. So I started buying clothes in my current size, sometimes even a little tighter than necessary, just to feel I still had curves, still looked, I guess, feminine. Thankfully, that phase didn't last too long. Once I began adjusting to this new version of life, I slowly started regaining some of that weight, and with it, a bit of confidence. And up until about 2 weeks before surgery, I still believed I was going to lose my leg. Even when I finally met my full medical team, they were honest. It was a tricky tumor, but by the grace of God and the incredible, incredible work of my team, that didn't end up being the case. So naturally, once the worry settled, my focus shifted back to how I look. I'd say for the most part, I actually felt pretty confident. I embraced the baldness in public, wasn't hiding, and I kept up with my usual makeup routine, which was pretty subtle. Nothing too wild, just enough to feel like beat. But then came the part where I was deep into treatment, like I want to say halfway through, and really losing my hair. No eyebrows, no lashes. You guys, I was bald. And then came the physical changes again, but this time in like the complete opposite direction. I noticed my face started getting fuller thanks to all the meds and steroids. It was like every week I looked like a different person, or just a little different. And not in ways I felt in control of. I found myself stressing more about how I looked. I started practicing my brows with brow dip. Honestly, big shout out to all those TikTok tutorials out there because that was tedious. And I got into the whole false lash thing, which was an ordeal of its own, you guys. No one talks about how much practice and glue that takes. I felt like my eyelids were sticking together and like just closed shut. Really, it takes so much patience, you guys. My goodness. I started wearing wigs more consistently too, and I leaned hard into the I'm a girl, I promise aesthetic. What I'm trying to get at is that everything I wore or did basically screamed, hey, don't forget, I'm still a girl. But eventually I realized that was a lot, and honestly, very exhausting. There was no way I could constantly face people, go through treatment, come out of it, and still keep up a full beat. Just wasn't realistic. So I gave myself some grace. I reminded myself, I'm on a ton of medication, I'm pumped full of IV fluids, my body is literally fighting for me. I told myself to breathe, let go of the pressure, and just be. And slowly I went back into doing the things I always did. Before chemo got involved, my simple beauty routines, nothing over the top, just things that made me feel like me again. This approach to reclaiming my appearance has worked well for me, and honestly, it still does. But I'd be lying if I said I haven't had moments where I questioned it all. Moments where I started to beat myself up for letting the way others see me get to me. So on that note, let's talk about being misgendered. It's happened a couple of times now. The first time, I had just come out of surgery, no girly clothes, no makeup, definitely no jewelry. I was barely functioning, fresh off pain meds, and I was told I needed a CT scan. Transport came to wheel me down, and once I got there, my parents and I were met by a woman with, let's just say, an energy. You know those people who just like instantly rub you the wrong way? Yeah, that was her. She walked right up and said something like, does he... And honestly, I can't even tell you the rest. Neither can my parents. We were all too busy processing the fact that she had just called me he. And again, I was high off hospital grade painkillers, you guys, so I didn't react. My parents jumped in to correct her, but I remember thinking, how hard is it just to read a chart? I kicked myself a little after for not saying anything, but hey, I had just had a major surgery. Now, the second time that I was misgendered, I was in chemo. I believe it was like day 4 of this 5-day long infusion. I was completely exhausted, nauseous, eyes closed, and I hear someone come into the room and say, hi, does he want to come to the playroom? We're playing soccer if he wants to join. And without missing a beat, my mom, my hero, clocked her immediately. With, she says she, no, she doesn't want to, and she can't walk, so even if she did, she couldn't. I kind of like chuckled in my head hearing her say that because it was just like, it's just so annoying. And you guys, I just want to say this. If you work in oncology, whether you're a doctor, nurse, technician, child life specialist, or volunteer, take a moment to check a chart or ask a respectful question before assuming. It shouldn't be that hard. Now, please don't come at me. I get that people make mistakes and hers was probably just an honest one, but... still, in the moment, I was a little bothered. Of course, I brushed it off. You just never know what kind of impact those quick assumptions can have on someone's confidence, especially when they're already going through the most vulnerable time in their life. And on the pediatric floor, the words we choose matter even more. What we say can leave a lasting mark in a child's self-image and shape the way they see themselves for years to come. And of course, it's just my luck that both of those times, that I was misgendered, I couldn't really advocate for myself, so isn't that nice? In all seriousness, it made me realize something bigger. When you're going through things that shake up your identity, like illness or any major life shift, it's so important to stay rooted in your needs, not what other people expect, not what they assume. And when you can speak up, when you have the energy or clarity to advocate for yourself, even in small ways, it's so powerful. You don't owe anyone a version of yourself that feels false or performative. Some days showing up for yourself might look like correcting someone who gets it wrong. Other days it might just be resting and letting it slide. Both are completely valid. What matters is staying connected to who you are, not who others decide you must be. I want each and every one of you to feel powerful, beautiful, and most importantly, comfortable in the actions you take in your day-to-day life. I know it sounds cliche, but please bear with me. It's always good to pause and ask yourself, what do I need right now? Am I doing this for myself or for someone else's expectations? These questions might seem small, but they're powerful, and they don't just apply to how you look or what your appearance is from day to day. They apply to everything. The work you're doing, the people you're surrounding yourself with, how you spend your time. When you stay in tune with your needs, you start making choices that actually feel aligned with who you are. And that's where the real confidence starts. Not from being put together, but from being connected to yourself. And honestly, that's what being a woman means to me. It's not about fitting into a mold or ticking boxes off of what femininity should look like. It's about being in touch with myself, my wants, my boundaries, my softness, and my strength. It's wearing a wig one day and rocking a bald head the next. It's painting my nails pink or black because I want to, not because I have to. It's having the courage and vulnerability to ask, what do I need today? And honoring the answer, whatever it may be. I want to take a moment to talk about vulnerability and how I tie it in with femininity, because that's been such a big part of this journey for me, is my vulnerability and how vulnerable I've become, not just with my family, but with strangers and the people that I come across and connect with, and how I want to be vulnerable with you guys. A lot of things I've had to endure throughout treatment, the pain, the exhaustion, the moments where I couldn't do the simplest things for myself, have really forced me to rethink what being a woman means to me. It's easy to associate femininity with beauty or independence, but what I've come to realize is that there's so much strength and softness, so much courage and letting go. I find it a lot harder for a person to just admit that they can't do something than being independent and trying to do something on their own. And my mom, you guys, wow. Watching her show up for me over and over again with grace has changed everything for me. She's taken care of me in ways I never imagined needing to be taken care of. Things I never thought I'd go through at this age. Things I never thought someone else would have to help me through. But she did it without hesitation from one day to the next. And of course you think that's what a mother's there for, but just when you're actually going through it, it's a completely different story. Seeing her strength as a woman rooted in love, humility, and care helped me embrace a softer, more honest version of womanhood. And being on the receiving end of that kind of love taught me that vulnerability doesn't take away from your power. It adds to it. It amplifies it. There's something really sacred about allowing yourself to be held, to say, I can't do this alone, and let someone step in. That's where I found a deeper kind of strength. The kind that doesn't perform but endures. I also want to mention and just shout out to all my nurses, because without them, I don't think I could have entered this level of vulnerability. They've allowed me to feel so comfortable in this new life and helped make adapting just so much easier. Hey guys, if there's one thing I hope you take away from today's episode, it's that your strength isn't measured by how well you hold it all together. Sometimes it's in the letting go and asking for help and letting yourself be seen, messy, soft, and real. Being a woman, at least to me, has changed so much. And honestly, I'm still figuring it out. But what I do know is that it's not about being perfect or fitting into anyone's ideas of what femininity should be or look like. It's about showing up as you are, whatever that looks like today. You give yourself permission to define womanhood on your own terms, not anyone else's. I've learned that through all the hard stuff, through all the moments I didn't expect to be in, through watching my mom show up for me in the most humbling ways, and my nurses, womanhood runs deep. It's soft and fierce. It's messy, complicated, and real. Thank you all so much for being here, for listening, and for letting me share a piece of my story with you and some lots of vulnerability. I'll catch you in the next one because we're not done yet.